Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. Just making sure. Thank you for being here this morning. Good to see all of you. And Jack and Brother Jason's got the best seats in the house. They kick back drinking coffee. So let's open up in a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for this day and all your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered at your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the break in the weather that you've given us, Lord. And we just ask you to be in our midst this morning. Lord, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're joining by Facebook or YouTube this morning, we ask you to like and share the stream. And if you have any prayer requests or anything like that, any praise reports, let them be known. We do want to remember Sister Shirley. She's not feeling well this morning, and they got her on some pretty heavy antibiotics. And Sister Shirley, if you're listening this morning, we miss you, and we're praying for you. I'm going to turn it over to Sister Kelly.
Good morning. We're just going to do a couple of songs this morning, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Tim. But if you know it, sing in your car. Even though I can't hear you, it'll make me feel a little bit better about life. So we're going to sing Blessed Assurance first.
Blessed Assurance.
That's what I'm going to do is Love Lifted Me.
Despair.
pastor somewhere, I think. Okay.
I was sitting in the air conditioning. Good morning once again. Thank you for being here. This morning we'll be in the book of John chapter 8. Book of John chapter 8. As we get started this morning, hey girls, I got this is pretty cool. I like this. It's a whole lot more fun coming to church and there actually being people around. Sanctuary and the office gets lonely when there ain't nobody around. But a couple of announcements. Nominating committee meeting tonight at 5:30. I sent out the positions that were available. And if there was a position that wasn't shared, and you feel led to serve in a certain capacity, let us know, and we want you to be able to serve however the Lord is leading you to do so. Forgot to do something. The people listening online probably are deaf right now because they were getting two microphones. So, so be here for that, 5:30 tonight. Nominate committee, and then at 7 o'clock we'll be having a special call business meeting so that we can get all of our teachers and directors and all that voted in and ready for the new church year. It's hard to believe that September is a week from now, and this year has just flown by, and I'm ready to see 2020 in the rearview mirror. This has been a rough year, and but we know that God is in control, and I'm looking forward to the future and what He has in store for us. The book of John, chapter 8, one verse this morning, and we'll go from there. John, chapter 8, in verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your promises and your word. And Lord, we pray in that your name be glorified today. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's here this morning and watching at home. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way and your will in this service, Lord. As Lord, and as we always pray, if there be one that doesn't know you, Lord, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Truth. The day that we're living in, truth is very much misdefined. Everyone has their own version of what's true. But I can tell you, the word truth does not work in that capacity. There's no literal way, even by its definition, that truth can be more than one thing. Webster's Dictionary defines the word truth this way: the body of real things, events, and facts. It's an actuality. And it's also defined as the state of being the case or the fact. You see, the truth is something that is concrete. It is something that we can stand firm on. It's something that we have as our foundation of everything that's going on. It is a firm foundation of facts and actuality and truth. It is a place that we base our entire lives upon. There's people today wanting to base their lives on truths, and this may not be politically correct, but there's only one truth out there, and that is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. But people are trying to find truths in this word, in this world that we live in. They're trusting in all kinds of things to get them to heaven. They're trying to trust in all kinds of things to get them by. But they're all just worldly things. And therefore, if they're worldly things, that means they are things of Satan, and all things of Satan are a lie. There is no truth in him because he is the chief of all liars. The only truth that you have today is if the only way that you're ever going to get to heaven is if you have a relationship, a true relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the only truth that we have today. If you base your truths on membership, on church membership or church baptism, or what you do or what you don't do, what you claim there is truth is nothing more than a lie, because it won't get you to heaven. They're important things, don't get me wrong, but the truth, the one truth that we must find, is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. This morning, I'm going to tell you, just like every other Baptist preacher tells you, I'm going to try to be quick this morning. And we'll just see. This first time I got to preach in front of our home crowd in a while. So we'll just see what the Lord does this morning. I want you to see a few things this morning on the word truth. Number one, truth is a position. Truth is a position. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth is a position. Right now, amongst everything else that's going on in this world, we're in the middle of an election year. Yay! Anybody else ready to see the election come and go? You can honk your horns for that one, all right? So Ethel was wanting to. She's chomping at the bits. Now, everything that's going on, and then their election and all, and we're in the middle of it. Everybody wants to know where the certain politician stands on certain subjects. They want to know what their position is on certain things. Now, I've said a couple weeks ago, the pulpit is not a place of politics or anything like that, so I'm not going to tell you how to vote or who to vote for or anything like that. But I can tell you through the Word of God, if you place any type of credit in a person that don't have their principles grounded in the truth from the Word of God, you shouldn't vote for them. One of the main topics this year as a Christian that I look at in the object of voting and things like that is abortion. Abortion is wrong. It's wrong. It's not because I think that it's wrong or that it seems to be wrong, but that's the Bible's position on the subject. That is the Bible's position on the truth on that matter. Every topic that you search, if they don't stand on the truth, on the Word of God, then they're not in the right position. Think about our kids today. In the educational system, now I'm not attacking our teachers because we have some awesome, great, just God-fearing teachers in our area. And I appreciate them and I pray for them. But the educational system as a whole in the United States of America, especially once you get to college, it is very much broken when it comes to basing truths off the Word of God. Think about this. We're brought up knowing through the Word of God that God said it, and it was. That man was created by God. But according to the educational system, it is a fact of evolution. But can I tell you, evolution is no more than a lie. It's just a lie. The Bible is what's true. Evolution and science that says all these things is not truth. People debate this all the time. How can you say the Word of God is true? Simply because God spoke it and it was. There's more evidence that you'll find of the Bible being factual, that the Bible is true, than you'll find about anything else. There's facts to back up what it says. There was a college professor and a preacher's son in a college setting. And the professor was giving a lecture talking about the subject of evolution. And the professor said that in his explanation of evolution and how it worked, he explained that two rocks were floating around in the atmosphere. They collided, and those two rocks that collided divided up, they exploded, and those particles dropped down into the water. And when they dropped down into the water, after a certain amount of time, little amoebas were formed. And those amoebas eventually grew, and they come out of the water. And later on, through evolution, they turned into monkeys. And through evolution, later on, they turned into us. Now, I know I'm just a redneck from South Georgia, but that don't make any sense. It don't make any sense at all. Why? Because it's a lie. It is something that Satan has led people to believe, but it is nothing more than a lie. The preacher's son sat there and listened to all he could stand of it. And the professor, knowing that he was a preacher's son, tried to ignore him as long as he could. Finally, he called on him. He said, "Sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but what you're telling these other students in this class is nothing more than a lie." The professor said, "Well, what do you base your truths on? How did you get here?" He said, "Well, according to the Word of God, God said it, and it was. In the beginning was God. That's what the Bible says." And the professor told him that you have nothing to base your facts on. The Bible is not true. It is something that is fictional. It was man-made. It was written by common men. And you have no facts to back up your theory. The preacher says, son says, "That's where you're wrong. From cover to cover, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Bible is nothing but truth. And there's more truth that can be factual found in the Bible and be proven than there's ever been found about your theory of how we got here." The professor continued to argue with us, this preacher's son, and they talked about evolution again and how the rocks and everything. And the preacher said, "So you're saying that through your theory of what you're saying your facts are, that two rocks were floating around in the air and they collided?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, who made the rocks?" You see, the truth is in a position, and that position is based on the Word of God. But people don't want to hear truth anymore. In the Bible, it tells us that would be the case. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So why is this the case? Why do people not want to hear the truth? It's because Satan has weaseled his way in through his lies and through his deception. He knows that if he could make mankind doubt what is true, that means that he can make them doubt the Creator. And if he can make people doubt the Creator and their truth of the Creator, then he can make people to where they will never find their Savior. Folks, Satan is a lie today. He was a lie then, he's a lie today, and he'll be a lie tomorrow. In him is found no truth. The only thing that we can stand on today is the truth from the Word of God, and our position can be based on what is true. I know today the truth is God. I'm glad to know that in the beginning was God, and that he stepped out on nothing and created everything. Truth is a position. Number two, truth is in a person. The Bible says in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Then Pilate went on to ask the question, What is truth? But you know that question had already been answered. Even though it was just freshly being asked, that question had already been answered. If you flip back to John chapter 14 and verse 6, we see the answer. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and the light. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Folks, Jesus Christ was truth. He is the truth. And guess what? He'll be the truth forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ alone is the truth. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 1 verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm glad this morning that we have the opportunity to know what is true and what's not this morning. Folks, no matter how hard the world tries to hide the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He cannot be hid. Through all the Bible, He was there. In the book of Genesis, He was there. In the book of Daniel, He was there in the midst of the fire. All through the Old Testament, He was in every single chapter. He was in the midst of it. All through the New Testament, He's there on page to page. And today, we have the privilege of knowing that through His Holy Spirit, through His saving grace coming into us, He is here with us today as well. The truth is a position. The truth is a person. But the truth can also be a penalty. There's a lot of people today that only want to preach certain parts of the truth. They only want to preach half of it. But can I tell you, a half truth is a whole lie. A half truth is a whole lie. Each part of the Bible is necessary. It is important. Preachers like to tell you, well, if you do good, you'll get to heaven. Or if you give money, Jesus will love you, and you'll get to heaven. But can I tell you, that's nothing more than a lie? Giving is important. Being loved by Jesus and being a good person is important. But leaving out the rest of the story omits what is really needing to be said. What the truth really is. The truth is our righteousness, even though some preachers may want to make you out to be a great and grand person, our righteousness is in the eyes of God are nothing but filthy rags. And without the payment for the remission of our sins, we would be forever lost in our sins without a Savior. That is the truth. That is the gospel. Without the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are living a lie. They're not receiving the entire truth. And because they're not hearing this real truth and this entire truth, they were splitting hell wide open today. The whole truth is this. If anyone dies without Jesus within them, they're going to go to a very real place called hell. The Bible tells that eternity will know the truth. And that the truth is written in a book. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11, 15 it says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now watch this. Notice this. This is the most important part. And whosoever was not found written, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice there it does not say whosoever does not go to church, whosoever does not tithe, whosoever does not get baptized. He didn't mention any of that stuff. He mentioned one status, one truth, that your name must be written in the book of life in order for you to get to heaven. That's the truth. Can I ask you this morning, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is your name written there? We've got a hymn that we sing every once in a while. It says, my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all the doubt and strife and read my title clear. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I'm glad to know that I know that I know that my name is written in heaven. My name is carved out. How about you? Can you say the same this morning? Can you say that your name is written down? And when the judgment comes, your name is going to be wrote and called off, and you're going to get access to heaven. Number four, and I'll close with this. Truth is a possession. Truth is a possession. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The word know and the word have there are definites. They're definites. The word know is a truth. The word know is a truth. And the word have is a possession. So many people today wonder or they doubt about their salvation. And in reality, you really don't have to. Why? Because salvation is something that you do not have to guess about. It is something that you can know. The Bible says these things are written that you may know. Not guess about, not wonder about, not worry about. These things are written that you may know. Salvation is a position. It is something that you can, or a possession. It is something that you can know. It's something that you can possess. It is something that you can have a head knowledge of here. It's a truth that can be known, and it is a possession that you can have and hold on to. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 and 6. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, if it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't have a truth. We wouldn't have a salvation. We wouldn't have anything without Jesus. We needed a mediator. We needed somebody to fill that gap between God and man. We couldn't get there. So Jesus took the place of our sin, and he come down to where we are because we couldn't get to him without him coming to us. Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is truth? Folks are still searching for truth in all kinds of different things. Trying to get saved in all kinds of different ways. But the truth is this. There's only one name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Folks, that's the truth today. There's only one way you're going to get to heaven, and it's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Is your name written down in His book? Does He have a relationship with you? You may say, well, I know Him, but does He know you? If you don't, you can today. Just call on His name. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins that you've committed. Ask Him to come into your life. And the Bible says that He will do so. That He'll change your life forever. Folks, I don't know where you are today, but Jesus does. He can come to where you are, and He can save you just the way you are. Won't you accept Him today as your Savior? Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for what's true. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is true, that Your Son is true. And Lord, through our salvation that we have through Him, our lives are truth. So Lord, I just ask You to bless the going out of Your Word. Lord, I pray that there be folks that are obedient to receive Your Word in whatever capacity they need to do so. And Lord, I ask You that there be one that needs to be saved. Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, don't allow them to put it off. But today be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to end the live stream for the folks that are sitting here. Give us just a second, and we'll go over our prayer needs. For the ones that are watching at home, we thank you for tuning in with us this morning. Glad you watched. And if you made a decision today, let us know about it. If we can help you in any way, we'll do that as well. So praying for you. God bless you.